Has an agenda that they're gonna serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those
running in circles.
Just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
The Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star.
Anybody else have any interesting stories they don't want to come to
tell? Hey, this is John Lane from the thriving metropolis of Leechburg, Pennsylvania.
The Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer.
Let's go. this way like you do today. So I'll be kissing your lips and be holding your hips. What gets better than this? Can this day I relive? I'm there when you laugh, I'm there when you cry. Just call my name and you'll be beside. So I'll be kissing your lips and be holding your hips. What gets better than this? Can this day
Hey, it's Bill, and you're tuned into the Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer, right here on PARockShow.com, MegaRockRadio.net, 107.1 FM St. Louis, Missouri, RootaRooRadio.com, BillDeCine.com/radio, XRPRadio.co.uk across the pond in the United Kingdom, then we cross the border into Canada, and we have AltRockRadio.ca. And I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody, and I'll hear about it. This is episode number 503 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show. With me tonight are Paul G, because I don't want to mess that up, and Corey from Blackridge. What's up, gentlemen?
Not much. Hey, I have to say one thing, Bill. In your intro, you had said the home for rock and metal. Well, you're also going to have to add blues, funk, soul, and progressive, because we cover all of those bases. So,
well, see, here's the thing. I make the rules and I play what I want to play.
I cede to your power, sir.
Plus, you guys, you know, I'm going to say something, and don't take this the wrong way, because it's going to come out badly and it's not what I mean. I have always been a person who's not a fan of horns, but I love watching you guys.
Thank you.
And it's probably because my first introduction, and now I'm going to piss somebody off, but my first introduction to a band with horns was a band called Masters of the Universe, and they were a ska band, and they were kind of sloppy when I saw them. I'm sure they got better. But that's like, that was my first, the first time I ever saw it live. I'm like, oh, this is bad. And, you know, but.
Yeah, ska wasn't for everyone.
No.
I got to admit, I kind of like ska.
No, I like Justin Jake.
You're allowed.
He's Big Bad Voodoo Daddies and all that. Yeah, I remember going down to Club Logan to see that, all that. But Bill, I've been doing live music for almost 20 years now.
Wow. I had known you for most of that.
Yeah. I had always wanted to be in a band that has a sax in it. And, it took until I got in Blackridge about 2.5 years ago for that to happen. And it was so much more than anything I could have ever hoped for. Like it really is awesome. Like I love having a sax. And then too, with Corey on the line here too, is I had also never been in a band that had a dedicated keyboard player. Like, you know, somebody would do like a little, like couple measures or something of that nature on a song. Josh Beck, that would be you, but never had a dedicated keyboard player. And it's really awesome because it opens up so many avenues for us. We have, like I said, when I said like rock, funk, blues, soul, blah, 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 all that, having the horns and having piano allows us to dip our toe into those other areas. Like we do some soul covers and things of that nature. We have we can do some pretty awesome things Zeppelin wise with having a keyboard. It's really awesome. Like as opposed to just having guitars and bass and drums and everything, like having the sax and the keyboards in it is awesome. So there's an answer to a question that wasn't asked already, I'm realizing. So
well, no, it's good. It's a good segue, because it leads right into the first question, which is that, you know, I hear that you're working on a new music and about to head into the studio into March. for a new EP. So what can you tell us about the progress on that?
Well, generally, first off, and Corey, I'm sorry if I'm going to step on your toes.
No, go for it.
So our sax player, Mr. Tony Lassick, I'm just going to say he's been in the band for a year now because it's the easiest. And again, my concept of time is shot. But when Tony come, he's the most recent addition to Black Ridge. He had replaced former sax player. Tony is a straight rock sax player. Like, he plays rock and roll on the sax, and it just, where he comes from and whatnot, fit really well. And I personally, like, I don't want to speak for the other five guys, I guess, being that I'm talking about one, but I don't want to speak for them. But for me, he was like a final piece. Like, when Tony joined, like, it's now, okay, the engine is tuned up. The timing is right. We are running on all cylinders now. And since he has joined, we are like writing originals like gangbusters. It's going really, really well for that. So I know we're going to have, we had just released an album less than a year ago, 6-song EP. We have, there's going to be at least 4, possibly 5 songs on this, but there might be even more, because just this last Sunday at practice, we started rudimentary work on 3 other originals, and 2 of them got worked on really, really well. I have a bunch of lyrics and everything. So if we're able to get that finished on Sunday or whatnot, or in the next week or so, we might be able to add 2 other new songs to the album. So that would be pretty cool.
So going along with the album, that's kind of what we're going to focus on here in the first section. What can you tell me about the Kickstarter campaign that you've started? And before you go too far into it, there is a link to it on the show notes, so we don't even have to mention what the link is. You can just tell us what the plan is there.
We, as a band, we are representative as like a family. And if you come and see Black Ridge, you become family with us. And, family helps one another. And so we're seeing if our family would like to help us out with making this new EP. There is a 3-tier reward system. And I'm sorry, I cannot quote what the rewards are. I just know that there are 3 tiers. And as Bill said, he will have the link to our Kickstarter. And on our other pages that we have, our Facebook and our Instagram, you can check the links out for those as well. But we are trying to raise $1,500 for this album. And we have, I believe right now, like 17 days left. And today is the 20th, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
that's right.
We have slightly over 2 weeks left. So, ladies and gentlemen, get on your intelligent phones or on your computers or whatnot and head on over to Kickstarter and check out Black Ridge, 2 words. And see if you would really like to help us along there. As I said, like, you get albums going to be one of the things for the donation, I know. It would mean the world to us for you guys to help be a part of this with us, because we really want you to enjoy this music and be immersed. And then, like, now you can literally say, you know, like, hey, I had a hand in making that. So.
And if, you know, if this doesn't work, we can always just resort to a telethon.
Yes.
I've
You'd be a good telethon host, I think.
I've hosted a telethon before.
Right on, right on. There we go, Corey. Ideas are in motion. Wheels are moving.
It's pretty solid. I think the rest of them will agree.
We could do a live stream on Facebook as a telethon. Because that was the software I was going to use earlier to record you when you couldn't figure out how to make your microphone work. Same software.
We had some technical difficulties.
So
I had some technical difficulties.
We got it. We're good. So what can you two tell me about, like, walk me through the birth of a Black Ridge song? How does it come from, like, that first thought to ending up on an EP?
Lots of different ways. Sometimes So we're a seven-piece band, ladies and gentlemen. We have two guitars, we have bass, we have drums, we have keyboard slash synth, we have saxophone, and I do the singing. So we have seven different minds working at one time. So at any given practice, one of the seven guys can say, hey, like, I have this little riff that I'm working on, and then they'll start playing that. And then our ADD allows us to all jump in on that and then just jam for a while and see if anything comes of that. So that's one of the ways, if a guy has something from before or like a little snippet he wants to work with, we can just do stuff from jams. We have like, we like to warm up with a jam session at practice when everybody gets hooked in and everything. Somebody will just pick a key and the guys will just go, and I kind of just rock to them. And then I'll be like, yeah, I'll point whenever they do something I really like. There's been a few times when that would end up being made into a song. Like we would say, hey, we really like that. Let's, revisit that. Sometimes I'll have lyrics written and I'll say, hey, can you guys give me something kind of sort of in what for? I'd be like, hey, give me some sort of spacey kind of vibe, something like that. And then I'll go see what they come up with and see if I can fit that. Or a lot of times Paul will have partial lyrics to something, and Paul will give me partial lyrics. And then as guys are starting to try and figure out some music or some riffs or something, I'll sit down on the ground and I'll start writing words in to try and fill off or try and complete what Paul was going at. So we have a lot of different ways, and there's a lot of different input, and it's coming like all the time. That might be one of the reasons why I think we're writing so fast. It's just literally because we have seven minds working all the time on stuff. So
now, Corey, you mentioned earlier, along with your technical difficulties, that you were using your phone to record. Is that how you record your ideas, so you can let the rest of the band hear them?
Yeah, we usually have like some kind of text chain going at all times to just get like song dumped with like random like riffs, or usually sometimes just us singing karaoke just for fun of it, just anything. It's just we just
and then sometimes at practice, like when they're jamming, I have my tablet that I have, and then I have a voice recorder. If they start into something that's like really awesome, like I'll start recording what they're playing, and then later I'll just be like, hey guys, can you remember this? You hit this back here. So yeah, so it actually comes in handy. It actually helps all this the ideas become concrete rather than abstract.
Cool. So I was looking, and the last time you were on, Paul, was right when you guys released the last EP. And I think the song that we played was Blue Collar Blues.
I think so.
So when I was trying to decide what song we were going to play this time, I chose New Day. What can you tell me about New Day?
New Day, so from the one perspective is, I do believe New Day had been a song sort of that Blackridge had had before I was a member. The music partially, I think, kind of sort of was, but Paul had partial lyrics, and I had finished out one. That was one of the first ones that I had finished out, wrote out on that one. I do remember that, but the song is, I really personally like New Day, because one of the things is, it's going to be different, is you have to come and see us live to get the true grit of New Day, because one of the things is just the title itself is New Day. And there is a part in the song, it's between the second and third verse, where the guys kind of bring it down a little bit. And then I will do basically a public service announcement about mental health. And the song New Day is talks about how, you know, every day is a new day. It doesn't matter what the challenges are, and, you know, things can go wrong, but sun's going to come up tomorrow and whatnot, and you have a new go at it. And for those of you out there that don't know, is I struggle with depression every day. This will kind of be a mini of like the little diatribe. And I found out that, you know, something had to change, and that was my viewpoint on life. And so I changed my outlook on life, And how I look at life is what the third verse of the song is. And so I tell the crowd that, you know, mental health, no laughing matter. You know, if you're going through it, you got to find somebody to talk to. And I tell them my story, relate to them. And I tell them this next verse is what helps me and says, hopefully, if you're going through something, it'll help you as well. So I really like the message that that carries. And we get a lot of people that tell us that it's a really powerful song with that message that goes along with it. And personally, like, it's just a rocking tune, man. Like, I really like it. Like, I jump around a lot, but like, I cannot help but jump when this song is on. Like, it really makes my heart beat, and I think it's a really infectious groove. Also, this song this past summer was played on part of the Pirates Sportsnet on I can't remember what channel it was on, but AT&T Sportsnet. Yes, they had a snippet of New Day that was used for that, so that got broadcast to the whole Pittsburgh viewing area. So that was awesome to get to see our band name on the bottom of a montage of like a whole bunch of awesome plays and whatnot. It was really, really cool.
I have a question for you off the air, but we'll get to that in a moment. So what we're going to do now is we're going to go ahead and listen to New Day by Black Ridge. We're also going to hear a second song in between the segments. And that song, I already forgot who I lined up, so give me one second here. That song is the Smokey Bellows Band. And
Oh, we just played with them last, was it last Friday or two Fridays ago now, Corey?
I do believe it was last Friday.
Yeah, we played with them at Moondogs. We played with them. And we played with Mickey and the Snake Oil Boys. I had never seen Smokey Bellows before. I really enjoyed them, man. They're really awesome. I really dig what they got going on. They have a lot of energy. And if you ever wondered what a band would sound like with Lemmy Kilmister singing and they have washboard and banjo, this is it. But it's not how you would think. Like, it's awesome, man. Like, it's really good. They were really, really good. So I highly suggest Smokey Bellows.
Okay, so we're going to hear their track, Midnight, and we'll be right back.
I'll see you.
Hey, it's Bill. We're back on the Pennsylvania Rock Show, episode number 503. You just heard from Black Ridge and their song New Day, and the Smokey Bellows Band and their song Midnight. And we're talking to Paul and Corey. And if you're just tuning in and you're not listening through the EPA Rock Show website, you missed the first like 30 minutes of the show. You should probably go to PARockShow.com and listen to that.
Definitely right. Go to PA Rock right. Show. And tomorrow, I'm assuming that Black Ridge, two words, will have a link on our Facebook, and we will have a link on Instagram and yada, yada, yada. So if you don't remember to check it out there, check it out for us.
So I only have like two or three more questions for you guys. For
tonight. All right.
One of them is for Paul directly.
Okay.
After seeing you perform, I'm almost positive 2004 was the first time I saw you. I know where it was. It was at 31st Street Pub during
Emergenza.
That's it, Emergenza. But I've seen you perform quite a few times. My favorite performances from you are usually at Island. And my question is, how do you decide on the attire you're going to wear when you're at those Rock for Life shows?
All right. So for those of you not knowing, or those of you that do know and whatnot, I dress up in ridiculous outfits at Rock for Life. And I do that for a reason, because the reason that we do Rock for Life is for these wonderful children that are suffering from horrible, horrible diseases. And we're trying to do what we can to make their lives better. And we're trying to raise money for these children. So a long time ago, I thought, you know what? If I dress up like an idiot, maybe a bunch of people will come. So I dressed up like an idiot the first time. The first year that I ever dressed up, I wore a giant banana costume. So then I dressed up the next year afterwards. And that one, I believe I had just worn a towel wrapped around my midsection. I think that's what that second year was. But it was after that performance that I realized, oh, nuts. I have to dress up every year now. And not only do I have to dress up every year, I have to go bigger and crazier than the year before. And I generally think what I come up with in said year is the biggest, craziest thing that I'm ever going to be able to think up. So I don't know. It's just my mind is in a really crazy place. But last year, the most recent for Rock for Life 2020, we did it. So this was awesome because first off, it was Rock for Life 20. And I have Rock for Life tattooed on my body. It is like the most important thing in my life. I love those kids and everything. And for the 20th, I wanted to do something special. And when I started dressing up long, 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 long time ago, because I even used to dress up with Ill-Fated. I had different costumes in a different band that I was in. I'd always wanted to perform in a wedding gown because I'm 6'4" and I weigh actually – last year, 2019, I achieved my highest weight ever. I can no longer say I was only 150 pounds. I am now 6'4", 160 pounds, ladies and gentlemen. But I've always wanted to play in a wedding gown because I just thought I'm so tall and lanky and it would be absolutely ridiculous. So just by chance, it was 3 days before Rock for Life, and I had not got a costume yet. I didn't know what I was going to do. And a girl that I was dating at the time, we were out in Indiana, and there was a Goodwill. And I was like, hey, I was like, can we just run in this Goodwill real quick? I'm going to see if there's anything good there. And we walked through the doors, and I am not kidding you. It was just like in a movie, like a beam of light shone down, and I heard the angels going, oh, and again, being that I'm 6'4", I saw over the heads of everyone that was in the Goodwill straight to the back wall to this beautiful wedding gown that was hanging up on the back. And it was only $35.
Wanted to ask how much that was.
Yeah, $35. That was one of the cheapest costumes that I've ever had, because I have spent $150 on a costume that I'm going to wear for 45 minutes and I will never wear ever again because I don't do things twice.
You wore that thing all day.
Oh, I did not break character. And it was like 90 some odd degrees, which I have to give a lot of respect to women out there, is I know a lot of weddings are in the summer, and that dress was not breathable at all. Like, I was covered in sweat. It was terrible. But So it was just like the stars aligned last year for I wanted to do something big. I've always wanted to do a wedding gown. I found one 3 days before. It was $35. And ladies and gentlemen, I quite frankly looked stunning. So
I've
marvelous
trying to come up with which one was my favorite year. And I think it's a toss up between the grapes and the elephant.
Grape Ape was the one that really started getting people to be like, what is wrong with this guy? For those of you who don't know, 1 year is actually, it's funny you said that. It was a little girl close to my heart whose birthday is coming up very, very soon, i.e. in the next day. Miss Alicia Ruby, it was her year when I first met her. I was painted my body in purple body paint. Covered it with balloons, purple balloons, and then Fred Ulmer had a gorilla mask, and I put a gorilla mask on. So I was Grape Ape. I was a bunch of balloons and with a gorilla mask on. So that was a fun one. But so for Rock for Life, I dress up in crazy weird stuff to try and get as many people out to come out, and then I try and guilt them into giving as much money as possible. But for when I dress up other times, because I don't always dress up for all of our gigs, but like usually festivals and stuff I do. And the reason I do that is because like I, especially with this band now, is like everything that I have done musically in my life was to get me musically to this point in my life. Like Black Ridge is home. Like this is home is where the heart is. And my band, my heart lies with Black Ridge. And I truly believe that we are making awesome music and we are a really good show. And I want to get people talking about us, and I want to get people coming back to our shows. And at these festivals, like a lot of times people are maybe inebriated or something of that nature, or you're seeing a lot of bands in a short time span, and some of them tend to run into each other, blur into each other. And I always wanted to try and do something that would make us stick out, that would make our band stick in your head that you would remember. So if you see a 6'4" dude in a wedding gown belting out Immigrant Song, the likes of which you have never heard before, hopefully that will stick in your head and you will remember Black Ridge, two words.
Corey, I'm going to expand upon that question. Does he tell you guys ahead of time what he's going to do, or are you as surprised as everybody else?
There's times when we're showing up to the gig and we see him in these states.
And it's, I learned a long time
sometimes
ago.
Sometimes are more interesting than the others too.
Yeah. It's easier to beg forgiveness than ask permission.
So. Funky Fest. All I got to say is Funky Fest. Tell him what you wore.
Yeah.
Or what you didn't wear.
Well, do you remember, Bill, in the 80s when men's running shorts were very, very short and they had like the white piping that went around them and they had that tiny cut that it went up the top? So that's what I started the evening in. And then by our last song, I had actually dropped down those shorts and I was just wearing my little Star Wars undergutchies that I had bought at a Walmart that were for like a 10-year-old boy or something like that nature. And the band didn't know. Like I just stood on stage and just dropped my pants and walked out of the shorts and was standing there, and like all of their jaws dropped. Like people in the crowd told us afterwards, they said the reactions of my band's face was absolutely priceless. So
the other question I have to go along with this is I saw a video where you were in like a treasure chest and came out of it. How did that happen?
That was our drummer's drum case.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, that was it. It was his bass drum case. And Corey, you actually helped carry me on.
Yes,
right?
I did most of the lifting on that one. I'm not going to lie.
He was part of the crew. And again, like this was a festival out towards Nemacolin. And there is a lot of awesome people that are out there, a lot of different people. Eric and Sally, I'm going to say hi to you guys. I love you.
Yeah.
Dom Ottaviani, if you're here, and give me a call. But to make us stick out there, I wanted to do this big entrance, and we wanted to make like a hubbub. And so the guys started in, and then they had started playing without me, and they had forgot to unpack me. And so we played it like I am just a piece of equipment that is loaded up and then unpacked and get them ready for the next gig. So thought that was kind of funny. It was pretty neat. And first we had to see if I could fit into the drum case. Cause I said, if I can fit into this thing, this is what we're doing. And they were just like, okay.
Well, it stuck with me. I watched it and I remembered it.
Awesome. That's job done. Job done. That's what a front man has to do. You got to get them to remember, because I don't do anything else in the band. My band does all the heavy lifting. They're the ones that are writing the music. They're the ones that are playing the instruments. Like, honestly, when it comes to talent, I am the weak link in the band. So I have to be able to pull my weight somehow. And doing that ridiculous stuff is how I hope to achieve it.
Hey, so I'm going to direct this question to Corey too, but Paul, you can definitely pipe in. If a movie was being made about Blackridge,
God,
who do you think would play each band member? And you guys can discuss amongst yourselves.
First, who would be the easiest person or easiest bandmate to do? Let's think. All right. So we'll go with our lead guitar player, Matt Bortz, first. Matt is like the shy. Well, I don't necessarily say shy, but he's very quiet. He's very reserved, you know. So who is somebody that like hardly says anything ever? Because in my 2.5 years of the
girl
band,
from Twilight, the girl from Twilight.
I probably heard him say about 150 words. I know perfectly. All right, here's who would play Bortz. Okay, so there's a movie Crossroads. Ralph Macchio plays it, and there's a scene where he has this guitar duel, and is it Steve Vai?
Yeah, he plays the devil.
Yeah, but it's whoever's hands they edit in to be Ralph Macchio's. That's who played Matt Bortz. That's who our guitar player would be.
He's just hands to play guitar.
All right. Next, we got we'll go Cody next. I'll work across stage. Cody is our bass player. Phenomenal.
Seth Rogen.
On the five. Yes. Yes. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
No, I didn't realize it until now.
I know.
We are playing with the musical equivalent. it's comedy and like, wow, that is spot.
No,
on.
Come on. It's
wow. I can't. Wow, that's really I have to applaud you on that one. Corey.
Thank
that
you.
Really
Thank good. You.
Okay, so then moving over, we'll go Mike. Who would Mike be? All right, I don't know if he's an actor, but Mike looks surprisingly
He'd be the guy from Scott Pilgrim, I think.
Mike looks like Daryl Hall from Hall & Oates. And if and he's going to hate hearing that I said this comparison, but if he acts, that's who I would say. But yeah, what was yours, Corey? I'm sorry. I don't know.
I'm terrible with names. The guy from like Zombieland, the kid from Zombieland.
Jesse, he was in the Facebook movie. He was, Lex Luthor, Jesse Eisenberg.
You may be right. Let's go with it. I'm terrible with names.
Okay. So then we'll skip on over here. We'll got Tony Lasek, our saxophone player. Who
Danny
would
DeVito.
Play? Yes. Yes, it would be Danny DeVito. Danny DeVito's character from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Exactly, Frank.
That would be perfect. That would be perfect for him. All right. We'll go to Paul, the other Paul that is our guitar player and singer and songwriter and band leader extraordinaire.
I'll have to give that one to you and just be here.
Trying to think. Acting wise, who do I think could do? All right. He is slightly taller. But I do believe Jeff Goldblum would be able to give a good Paul performance. I think that's off the top of my head. That's
no,
the best one
I have right now. I mean,
that's the best I have right now.
He's so tall. If anybody.
funny. You're Jeff Goldblum. I was gonna give you Jeff Goldblum.
I would play me. I would play me. There's no actor. That
I know.
Play
that's me. What that was actually gonna be my joke because I was gonna say if you're. Yeah. You would never let anybody play you but you.
I'm so vain, I probably think this song is about me. Yeah, I would be the only one that would play Paul. But yeah,
Jeff Goldblum would be your stunt double.
Yeah. I'll have to think if I can think of some other actor for Paul as wise. But all right, can I pick actors that have deceased? To play, because I have a perfect one for Corey, my keyboard player, right here. Philip Seymour Hoffman.
I was going to say, yeah, you're probably going to say, as soon as you said deceased, I was guessing. I was guessing that you were going with that.
The way Philip Seymour Hoffman's character in, what is it? Is it Along Came Polly? The movie with Ben Stiller and Jennifer Aniston. Like the end scene where he sits in for Ben Stiller's character. Like that's why I see him as you, because you I see you like Corey is very funny. I really like a lot of things he says and a lot of just little quips that he'll have and whatnot. And a lot of them are off the wall and they're pretty goofball. I think Philip Seymour Hoffman would be pretty, that or Robin Williams. Wow, both guys are dead.
We got Oscar bait. Oh God, what does that say about me? I am dead people.
The Robin Williams one is for the 80s.
This movie isn't The Sixth Sense.
You don't tell us what our movie is.
Any other?
Hey, Corey, do you have somebody other than Paul that could play Paul?
Oh, man. I mean, I literally, he just snatched Jeff Goldblum from me, so I don't know. I mean, Jeff... Eddie Murphy as how about this unpopular opinion? Eddie Murphy plays us as everybody. We just do one of those things.
Yeah. I think he's done that kind of movie before.
Yes, we will be the Black Ridge Clumps. Like I'm on board with that.
Hercules.
I rescind everything that I had said previously, and I am going to go with Eddie Murphy playing every character of the band.
So. Here's who I think could play Paul. Johnny Depp.
There we go.
It's too short.
Well,
the director would have to use clever camera angles.
Listen, Tom Cruise is like 5'3", and every movie he looks like he's the biggest person in the movie.
That's in his contract. It's a rider.
It probably is.
I'll take that as a great compliment, because Johnny Depp is a tremendous actor. So...
And he's a musician, too.
We're going to have to deal with this now. We're going to have to deal with this ego.
Hey, last question, guys. Can you give me a rundown on your social media accounts and what upcoming shows you have?
Oh, dear God. Okay. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pornhub, and what else?
Spotify,
Apple YouTube. Music, YouTube.
And everything that you search, Black Ridge is two
words.
Yeah,
Google. Just put us into Google. Two words, though.
Yeah, but we do. We have the Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I don't know if we have a MySpace page. I don't know if MySpace still is a thing. Actually, I do believe that it is. I'm not sure. But yeah.
We do not have
Facebook,
MySpace.
Twitter, Instagram, Spotify, YouTube, Black Ridge, two words. So, now for shows, as I had mentioned earlier, we had played, it was February 7th that we had played with Smokey Bellows and Mickey and the Snake Oil Boys. So we're going to skip ahead now. It tells me that in February, I have the PA Rock Show interview. I'm going to have to remember
to be available for that one.
Yeah. I do believe we have a gig on Saturday at the Freight Station in Johnstown. We play Saturday at the Freight Station in Johnstown, which I know Johnstown is a hall for a lot of the listening audience, but the Freight Station is a really cool bar. I can't say it's a really cool little place because it's gigantic, because it's literally an old train station, but it's really neat. So we have that February 29th. Leap Day, we have the Under the Garage recording. We are actually going to be on a video show. We're going to go do a couple of songs in a studio for somebody. I believe that's out in the Johnstown area, and we will let you know when that will
New
be.
New Alec, I think.
World Wide Web. March 14th, we are at the Rail House on Route 286, and I'm just going to call it Indiana. March 28th, we are at Peppers and Nat in Braddock, which that's a really cool place, man. If you are into music, that is definitely, that is a music bar. They really focus on their music. April 18th, we are at the Coal Hill Tavern in Coal Hill. Again, not close. We have a rather broad sweep that we're trying to get, and we'll play pretty much anywhere, anytime. So if anybody, you got any birthday parties or private parties or
bar mitzvahs,
wakes, whatever, we'll take care of that. So April 25th, we are at the Castle Pub in Ebensburg, which, again, that is an awesome bar. The first time that we played there, I had never been there, and I said, with a name like Castle Pub, they better have a sword hanging on the wall. They didn't. They had two and a battle axe.
Oh, that's right.
Yes. June 7th, we are at Ungrateful Winery in Blairsville. And then October 17th, we are back at Peppers and Nat for a benefit show that will be hosted by the tremendous Miss Freddie.
I love Miss Freddie. She was on my other podcast recently. Well, no, back in, September. Wow. Things do fly by. It was in September. Real quick, I want to thank you guys for coming on.
Thank you.
Oh, no problem.
And I also want to mention who we have coming up next. Next week, we will have Identity X on the
504 PA Rock Show episode number 5. Hey, can I cut a promo for you guys? What was the name? And I'm sorry, I was talking to you.
Identity.
He even acts like Jeff Goldblum.
Ladies and gentlemen, please stay tuned for episode number 504 of the PA Rock Show. That's what I'm going to give you, and then you can change.
I can see if you're nice. And you can
for different bands and whatnot.
On March 6th, we have the Rust Project. On the 13th, we have a Common Crown. I think I'm going to take a camera to their practice space for that episode. It should be interesting. And then we're going to talk to Filthy Media. It's a webzine in the Pittsburgh area. I think it's filthymedia.net or filthymusic.net. I can't get it straight in my head. It's one of those. All right. So with that being said, this has been episode number 503 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show. Check us out at parockshow.com and all our affiliates. And we'll catch you next week.
Have a good one. Black Ridge, two words.
Two words.